Well, we all survived the holidays. I trust it was wonderful. Caroline is not with me, obviously. She got a better deal. She's chasing grandkids, so that's fun. But I have my grandson with me, Paul. He's the oldest of the triplets. He's, I think, 30 seconds ahead of the others. The youngest of the triplets said to me one day, she said, "You know, had I known what was happening when we were all in the womb together, I would have kicked him and come out first." But we do trust you had a really a good break. Caroline and I really want to thank you for the generosity of your gift to us. We'll use it on our house. It's not decaying, but it's not improving. If you know what I mean. But we really think it's beyond a gift. Gift is a symbol, and a deeper meaning is what that symbol symbolizes. So for that, we are grateful and we are thankful to you. Our son-in-law, Craig, that you may know, left on New Year's Day for Thailand and Nepal and Indonesia, where he is. He'll return early May. So our Becky is chasing the kids, and Carolyn is staying there to help her, more or less just hang out until the 20th. So I'll be like the movie that you probably saw, Home Alone. I'll try not to wreck the place. So we're just thankful. God is so good to us. Third, before we get into the lesson, I made a promise some time ago that I would teach the book of Daniel. So beginning next week, we'll plunge into that book, 12 chapters, interesting book. I've been working on it in my mind. And so we'll start there. Okay. It's interesting, one would say. Now, so where we are, what I thought I would do today is sort of a fun thing. I thought I would take a verse, a text, and think about it and think about the coming year. By now, obviously, 2023 has begun to fade in our memories, and we face a new year. What we have planned will probably partially come true. What we have not planned will be better, and in some ways, not. And at the end of the year, we will do what we have done, and that is bless the Lord for his grace and mercy. I think God has equipped us with an amazing capacity. And the older you get, that capacity increases. It is called forgetfulness. But it's amazing when you analyze that, that you remember the good things far more than you remember the bad things. And I think that's a gift from God, thankfully. So I want to talk about wisdom and how to handle 2024. I want to use Proverbs chapter 30, which is a great, great text. It says this: four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. That's the text. When I think about wisdom and pose the question, how do you distinguish wise people from wise guys? That's the question. And my answer is found in four animals. We'll come to them. So the question is, where do you and I go for wisdom? Skill to manage our lives. When I think about that, I am sure where not to go. I don't go to politicalized media sources, which seem to be tragic in that they are more interested in winning an argument and triumphing and crushing their opposition than they are to rationally go through our problems of state. So I don't really find success in the mass media. But maybe I could turn to the halls of higher learning. But over the Christmas vacation, we read about Harvard and its president and the LB issues and the Hamas issues at Harvard College or University. And when I thought about that, I came to the conclusion that as mass media is biased, maybe our schools of higher learning are failing us too. Now, I spent my life in higher learning, so I'm not opposed to it. It's a career. And then I thought of another guy. You may know him. His name is Bernard Madoff. He was, for a while, the chairman of the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. But he got himself theoretically wealthy by a pyramid scheme. And that pyramid scheme cost those who contributed to it $65 million. So obviously, I don't want to talk to Bernard. So far, so good. And those who listened to him should have sat at the feet of four little animals, and they would have learned wisdom. So far, so good. Now, so what I'd like to do this morning is the opposite of what is normally done. When we name our children, for instance, how do we name our children? Well, I don't find many children named by their parents Ichabod, because you have a negative connotation about the glory being departed. And we don't call them Judas, okay? Unless we're a sinner. But I do know that Johnny Cash and his famous song had a man name his son Sue. Remember that? We listen to music coming down from Colorado. Now, because they were my favorites. So the point is that when we have our children and we reflect on how to identify them, we usually go back to our archives of memories and think of a person that has been significant and helpful. And more than that, a person of integrity. And we hope that that kid will grow up to match the name. So far, so good. So we model up, is what I'm saying. Today, I want to model down. I want to look at four little creatures. It is recorded, and yet these four little creatures have an abundance of wisdom. They know how to manage life. It is found in Proverbs 30. And if you know 30, it's a chapter written by only, he only wrote one chapter. His name is Augur. He's something of a romantic if you read other sections of this chapter, but he's also a wise man. He is the son of a father whose name I think is, it literally means pious. It means religious. He's the son of Jacques. Augur means compiler. one who gathers maxims together. So it's probably a nickname. But his penitent was to think and write down wisdom. Huh. Here's the thesis, very simple. Insects, animals, have an abundance of wisdom. And if we would sit and listen to them, it would be profitable. For Auger, this interesting observer of nature, says, four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. He picks four animals, insects, an ant. There's wisdom in an ant. Second, there's wisdom in the rock badger that I find some people don't have. There's wisdom in a locust. And there's wisdom in a lizard. Okay? They all have deficiencies, but they also have a strength. And the strength compensates for the deficiency. So there's nothing wrong with having deficiencies. We all have them. But it is quite pathetic not to manage them. So far, so good. When you think of these four animals, they are all ugly. They're not going to win a beauty contest. So far, so good. They are all weak. They have no source of native protection. They are all small. A lizard, you may grasp with your hands. A rock badger is not mighty folk. A lizard has no king. No direction. They are each easily captured. So far, so good. None of them can talk, but they teach by example. So far, so good. So the topic today is really wisdom. It's how to manage 2024. And here we go. I think we have pictures of these. And when you look at these animals, you would never go to a pet store and buy a leash and take one of these guys for a walk. Okay? They're not pets. I've never seen a person with an ant on a leash walking along, or a rock badger. Certainly not a locust, and certainly not a lizard. Now, but they have the strength to survive. That's the point. So when you look at these four little verses that we'll do, each of the verses, so the main theme is this, very simply. Four things are small, ugly upon the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. Now, then he illustrates it with four little creatures. Here's the first one. I think we have a picture. It's an ant. Okay? I always think this. Here's the thesis. The ants are not strong folk. Auger has watched the ants. But the but is the contrast. So there's a weakness. You can step on an ant. Two, but they compensate. They prepare their food in the summer. What does an ant fundamentally know? An ant knows that the green leaf of summer, when people go out for picnics, they don't go out for the picnic the same reason we do. They go out for our potato chips, and they carry them off one at a time. Why? Here's the point. The ant knows that time is fleeting. I meet people who don't know that. They prepare their food in the summer for the scarcity of the winter. Okay. So what do we learn from this little guy? We learn that we need to use our good times wisely. And if you do not, you forfeit the future by the indulgence of the present. So far, so good. An ant is a master at anticipation. I've never, when I've gone to a beach to relax, I've never seen an ant sitting in a hammock with sunglasses. Because an ant knows what time it is. And he knows that fall is coming. He knows that winter is coming. He knows that he can't trust the pleasantry of a day and not prepare for tomorrow. And as I look across my culture, the American culture, that's vastly in debt, I was told that if you have no debt, now there's nothing wrong with debt if the thing you have purchased is of greater value than the debt you're carrying. So we've all bought houses. But I mean that if your creditor called you in and said, what would you do? So far, so good. So we need to use, and I'm not opposed to pleasure. I have to fight it because I enjoy it so much. That's my grandson. He's marginal, but we love him. So far, you plan now because the green leaf of summer is going to wilt into a brown leaf in the fall and fall in the winter. Just wisdom. What else? Laziness produces wantonness. So far, so good. Now, there's a skill involved. There's times to relax. But I find Americans forfeiting their future for the pleasures that will pass today. It takes skill. So my thought is, listen to the darn ant, find his feet and sit at them, and learn. Ants do not make noise that I can observe over their accomplishments, right? They don't write a book on their personality. So, simply put, what humans seem to lack, an ant has an abundance of. It knows that time is fleeting, okay? I look at our teenagers and the first thought crosses my mind when I sit in a mall and watch, I go watch the animals at cheaper than the zoo. And I think in my own mind, if these kids are called to defend the perimeters of our country, are they prepared for that? Not so much in muscle, but in mental fortitude and strength. Are we forfeiting tomorrow for the pleasures of today that will be gone tomorrow? But I'm not a prude. I'm not a prude. Just wisdom. Here's the second animal. It's the rock badger. It's sometimes called rock hydrox, sometimes called a coney. It's in some poor translations of the text, the King James translated it coney or rabbit. But this little guy doesn't chew his cud. Now, rock badgers are not mighty folk. Okay. When you look at a rock badger, he's sort of cute. But that's it. But it's not mighty. It can't withstand aggression. But it makes its home in the rocks. What's the point? If the point of the ant is it knows what time it is, it's fleeting. The point of the rock badger is very simple. It knows where its security is. You get this guy out on the Texas plain, and he's dead meat for a hawk. He cannot run away. So it stays near the rocks. And when something comes that it fears, it scampers into the rock. So far, so good. I find a lot of Americans who do not know where their security is. They're living out on the prairie, not the rock, which is Christ Jesus. A few years ago, I was preaching in Colorado, and sadly, during that week, I came down with a hard fever, just out of my mind with fever. But I had to go through the conference, which it doesn't harm me. I can do it mindlessly. But no, I was really sick. But the pastor said to me, John, let me take you out to the mountains and leave you there. No. What he meant was he gave me a bunch of peanuts and took me out to a rocky place to rest. And so I'm sitting there saying, I don't know this guy's logic. And then the rock badgers came. So I started playing games with the peanuts. I tried to grab them. And they would come real close, but I could never catch them because they ran back to the rock. And it reminded me of this text. I think Americans and Christian people among us, sadly, try to live as far from the rock as possible with the hope that when tragedy comes, they can scamper back. The answer to that is you can put a blindfold on a chicken and it can cross a busy highway 99 times. That's called grace. But the 100th time, it will get flattened. But I find Christians living that way. As far from the rock as they can go, and hope they can scamper back when the storm comes. Okay? So the answer, it's very simple. The security for you and for me is not in the insulation that we build around us, which is proper normally, but it's the rock. And when trouble sometimes come and you analyze your behavior, you find yourself drawing close to God, right? Or as the old hymn goes, when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. So my prayer, my hope for all of us as we face our new year, is that we would have the insight of an ant and know what time it is. Americans lost $65 million to a pyramid scheme, a Ponzi scheme. They lost their life savings, many of them, because they didn't know what time it was. Right? Second, this little rock badger, who's such a creative little guy, so pretty, but he won't let you touch him. He likes your peanuts, but that's all. And when you reach out, he runs back to the rock. So I think I think very simply, for you and for me, wisdom says stay close to the rock. How do you do that? You do that by knowing the rock. You do that by being among people who know the rock. It's just flat wisdom that a rock badger has, an ant has. I often say to myself, why do Christians live on the margins of life, enjoying the temporary pleasures? And obviously, I'm not against pleasure per se, but it has a place. It has a place in all of our lives. We need to relax sometimes. Pushing will get you there sooner, I tell my students. I tell my students this. Hurry will get you to a location sooner. But what does it mean? It means you'll have more time to wonder why you did. That's all. Wisdom. So we live on the margins. We live on the edge of the cliff. We enjoy unwarranted pleasures, hoping to scamper back to the rock. And by the grace of God, we do. Okay? So simply, very simply, as we look into 2024, this is the best wisdom I know. One, the ant knows what time it is. All right? I tell my students, when you're 20, 25, don't live like you're 50. It's no fun. But when you're 50, don't live like you're 20. It's foolishness. So far, so good. It's sort of a hoot. I enjoy this stuff. Now, here's the third little guy, the locust. The ant is not strong folk, but they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badger is not a strong folk, but it makes its home in the rock. Right? That's our hope for this year, that we stand at the end of this year and say, it could have been that all hell will have let loose, but he is my rock, right? Our family is our rock. Our class is our rock. And now the locust. The locusts have no king, right? Yet, all of them go out in ranks. What's it mean? Locusts know the power of getting together. If you knew a locust, you can step on the old guy, all right? But when they come in multiplicity, they can darken a bright day, right? And the green tree disappears. So far, so good. What they have learned is that the power of uniting, the power of togetherness. Americans are obviously trained to be a radical individualists. Our motto is pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Suck it up. If it's difficult, give me a day. If it is impossible, give me three. And there's virtue in that. But it's also foolishness. Now, what we can't do alone, the locust knows that we can do together. Okay? If a single locust took on a field of whatever, it would have a hard time. But if they come in the millions, they can wipe it out. And we've had great plagues of locusts. So that I think the message of the locusts is simply security is in company. So far, so good. If I were applying it to our class, I would say this. If you're not in a fellowship group, you should. That's wisdom. It's not that you will learn profoundly. It's that you will have relationships deeply. Knowledge will not bring you comfort, but friends do. Okay? There's a story told of a visitor to an insane asylum. These dear people were absolutely off the charts. And when the visitor visited the asylum, he observed that there were 135 inmates, but only three guards. And they did not carry weapons. They were unpredictable inmates. So the visitor came to the guard, one guard, and said, "Aren't you afraid?" And the guard looked at him and said, "Lunatics don't unite. Christians should." So far, so good. So, four things are small on the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. An ant knows what time it is, a rock badger, Coney, Hydrex. Knows where its security is, right? How much money do you need to retire successfully? The answer is you don't know, and I don't know. One massive bout with some dreadful disease will wipe out an astronomical fund. We do prepare, but I figure if I wind up absolutely broke, but I've done all I could, I did all I could. But I'm not going to sacrifice what should be done today to bundle money for tomorrow that may not come. So far, so good. So I don't know how much to retire on. The answer is all I got. Nope. No, I was out running with my grandson's father, Craig. And we're running along. We're about the 10th or 12th mile. It was sort of pleasant. And he turns to me and he says, "Dad," and I never allowed him to call me dad when he was dating my daughter. I would say to him, "Craig, I'm not your dad, but you can call me your hypothetical dad. And if you do marry my daughter, you can then call me dad. But you're not my dad, or I'm not your dad." It was just a joke. Well, so we're running along pleasantly, you know, cool. And he looks at me and he says, "Dad, where are you going to live when you retire?" I stopped running, looked at him in the eye, and said, "Son, where will you be living?" So far, so good. An ant knows what time it is. Rock badger knows where its security is. A locust knows the power of community. Right? And here is the lizard. This is a fun guy. A lizard you may grasp in your hands, right? But he winds up in king's palaces. What the heck does that mean? And I think it means this. Lizards, I think we're all lizards. I think we're small, ordinary, normal, average Christian people. But our destiny is not determined by our size. Our destiny is not determined by our vulnerabilities. Our destinies are not determined by external factors. You and I are a breath away from a king's palace. There are no ordinary Christians. You will wind up in the palace of the king forever. Caroline and I were out in California working with Campus Crusade when their offices were at Arrowhead Springs. It was a very nice summer. They put us up in a little cottage. So we're sitting on our couch, average evening, and I look up on the hearth of the fireplace, and there is this lizard. We both leap on the couch, and we're trying to figure out what to do. So I finally decide I will sneak over to the phone and call security. Now, these are college students, so I did. And I said to the person, what do? I got this lizard. She said, this was hilarious. She said, move slowly to the door and open it and reach out. You'll find a shovel. Take the shovel and beat its brains out. Okay, so I went and got the shovel. But then I got thinking, this guy didn't do anything to me. This guy's just a lizard. So I decided to open the door and just wait for him to leave. And he just walked out. So you have this ugly little lizard, but it's in a very nice apartment. How in the heck does that happen? What is the wisdom in that lizard? You and I may have a lot of trouble in this life, and it's incremental. I tell my students, when you come to death's door, the cup of sorrow will be full. It will feel incrementally different for all of us. Some of us have tragedy early, and the landscape gets smooth later in life. We don't know how it comes, but the cup of sorrow will be full. And I think that's one of the gifts God gives us to wean us from this world, because we're a bunch of lizards. And someday, a breath away, you and I will stand in the palace of the king. Right? So I would say, our privileges are well beyond our capacities. It's what you and I would call grace, pure grace, right? Will we be stratified in heaven? Will there be stratification? The answer is no. The lowliest person who loves or is known of the Lord, I should say, or the scholar or whatever we judge to be significant, we'll all be equal. Why? We should be now. Because we will have the grace of God forever. Right? There are no little people in heaven. There are no stars in heaven. There's only one. It's the Lord Jesus. But it's not bad to be number two when he is so great as number one. We'll all be together. So I think the question is this. Do you live your life as a spiritual pauper when you're a child of the king? It's that simple. So far, so good. So here's my challenge. Four things are small on the earth, but they're wise. And you could go beyond the text. But watch a horse. They are magnificent. What can I learn from this instinctual, mindless being that I have a mind I haven't learned? Right? Majesty, gallantry, beauty. Four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. So here's the wisdom for 2024. The ants are not mighty folk, but they prepare their food in the summer. Are you preparing for tomorrow or forfeiting tomorrow for today? Second, the rock badger is not mighty folk, but it makes its home in the rock. Are we flirting with momentary pleasures that we have no right to indulge, believing that the unbeliever is quite right? It's more fun to be an unbeliever. Because you and I know that when the winter comes, we can scurry back to the rock, right? The locusts have no king, no leader, but they know the power of being together. Okay? Do we know that? Or are we trying to shape our destiny by our own individual prowess? So far, so good. And the lizard, you can grasp with your hand, but it's in a king's palace. We are all lizards. Our stature doesn't indicate our destiny. You and I will be in the palace of a king. So the question really is, will you live your life like these four little animals? Will you sit at their feet and learn from them? Does that make sense? Now, we have time for questions. I'm not afraid of questions. If I don't tell you the truth, you won't know it. All right. There you are. You might, so we can all hear.
It's almost like you've given us permission to straighten the rock. And our faith does that too.
Yeah. I think we all live on the edge. I think we fundamentally believe that God is a bore to some degree. And that because we have learned from our culture before we learn from him. And the things that you have learned without learning intuitively by example, you think is the ideal. Right? Or another way to say it is, you and I, when we get to heaven, we'll have a common comment. And the comment is this: if I had realized how good he was, I would have trusted him more. We will all say that. He will take us behind the woodshed, give us a whooping, and say, enter into the joys of my kingdom. Especially teachers. We're more responsible and less responsible people. Does that make sense? It's just beautiful. The symmetry and beauty of Christian faith is from another world. Yeah.
It sounds as if, for me, that our thought processes really need to be filtered through the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because we are so indoctrinated with culture, especially when it's all over. And you hear the language of culture among Christians.
Sure.
And sometimes you have to shriek from that. So it is a spiritual warfare, would you say?
Sure.
Is that all I'm going to say? Sure.
I remember the story of an animal. I think it was a leper in Africa. And the caption was, a leper gets up every morning and runs for its food. Right? And do we? Right? So I think our culture teaches us, because we don't question it, we're too young to question it, certain values. We learn it from our moms and our dads and our siblings. We learn it when we go to elementary school. And you're not chosen for the first team. That subtly tells you you're inferior. So we've all had those experiences. I was made the fourth team and never got to play. But no. But those things in the back of your mind are real. And I think fundamentally, how do you change? How do you change? How do you put those bad memories that I tell my students, your life is like a room, like a house. And there's a special closet in your house. It's called bad memories. You seal the door, but it whispers to you at night. And every once in a while, you have to enlarge the closet. But when you enter heaven, God will wipe away all those memories he has forgiven, but you don't have the faith to trust him, right? You know you don't trust him when you believe that you are worthy of condemnation from him. You are not. Not because you are something other than you are. It's because you were placed in his son, and he is perfect. He is my righteousness. But we have these things. So how do you overcome them? It's a lifelong struggle. Some you will, some you won't. I always tell my students, it's like a tree in the woods. Some trees you can cut down. Some trees, the best you can do is remove some of the limbs. Some trees you can't touch. The best thing to do is run like a dog, like Joseph. So far, so good. But how do you gain on these things that we all have? The answer is simple. How do we make decisions? We make decisions on a simple criteria. Minimalization of pain, maximalization of pleasure. If you choose evil, what you're really saying is, Jesus is not beautiful. Pleasure, that which is contrary to him. So it's a simple displacement theory. What you most value is what you will most cherish and do. Ergo, therefore, if you fill your mind with the Holy Scriptures, and your thoughts of God and fellowship with the saints, you will enter a displacement theory. The things that trouble you will lessen because better thoughts. So the spiritual life, simply put, boils down to a mental struggle. That's all it is. What you fill your mind with is what you're going to feed on. We're not prudes. We're not prudes. Does that make sense? One more or so. Yeah, I was here or there, wherever. Got to watch time. My wife always gives me a lecture on the way home. You idiot. You took too much time. And I say to her, honey, it can only last another 10 years. We'll be gone.
Okay. I understand why you chose the three, the ant, the...
Four. Oh, why did I choose the lizard?
Yeah. Why did you choose the lizard? Is it a text?
I mean, you can't cut off a darn paragraph. You got to deal with it all.
But what were you comparing the lizard to? What were you really comparing the lizard to? Because I'm trying to find out.
They're comparing the lizard to the idea that a lizard lives above its capacities.
Okay.
It shows up in King's Palace. I had a friend who went to Acapulco, and he's on the 34th floor of the Swanko joint. And he's sitting there, and he looks up and sees a lizard. And so he calls me, and he says, John, how did the lizard get here? Does it previous owner come up on the elevator? So what God has prepared for you is beyond compare. It's like being a lizard and living in a lush palace. So think of your future. In other words, it doesn't limit its life by its incapacities. There's a future. And so when you look at a lizard in your house, if you do, think that idiot can teach me something before he dies. Right? It's beautiful, right? I love it. You and I will be in King's Palace someday. Not because we've merited it, earned it. It's called grace. Someone did it for us, right? And what did he do for us? He gave us a new set of values, a new set of joys, right? It's called hope. Another question? Yeah.
Hi. When you were feeding the peanuts trying to catch the badger.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we do that, but we move back. As a badger, we'll move a little closer to the temptation.
Yeah.
At some point, I think that the devil is watching us as that little badger, and he's seeing how far we will go.
Yeah.
And you may not catch him with your hands, but the devil is smart enough to catch us with a net.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful.
Yeah. It doesn't take intelligence. My dad was an illiterate farmer. He could sign his name, but that's all. But he knew what summer was. He knew what wisdom was. He knew what hard work was. He knew things that, so it's not about, Americans have been taught that the more educated you are, the more successful will be your life. Well, we got a bunch of idiot PhDs out there, right? At least I know when it rains, it seems that my head gets wet. I figured that one out. It's just amazing to me. And I thought I chose the passage because it's so elastic. You can put yourself in the animals and say, what can they teach me? Right? If you want fun of a morbid sense, read Dear Abby. I read Dear Abby every morning. And I look at those stories and I say, they don't have the brains of an ant. Right? And neither do I if the topic is one that I have the brains of an ant. That's why we need each other. right? We're all weak in some areas, but not all areas. We're all strong in some areas, but not all areas. They don't match up. That's why we need each other, right? Locust knows that. Well, it's fun. Okay, so next week, if God sustains us, we will start the great book of Daniel. It's a hard book. It's fairly clear, but it's also hard to understand. But it's a fun book. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be together. Thank you for the vacation, the time off we had, the focus we placed upon the advent of the Son of God, and the wonder that he would come into such a broken world for people who would not love him but hated him. And yet his love rose above the animosity of others. And may our love too. We commend ourselves to you this week and pray that you'd go before us and guide us. Help us to have the wisdom of the ant, the wisdom of the rock badger, flee to you often. The wisdom of the locusts, we need our friends. And the destiny of the lizard, that our future is not determined by our bankroll. It is not determined by our status in society. It is determined by the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb, for which we give you praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Thank you.